On the day the Buddha gave the first Dhamma teaching, the Panchavakya, the group of five ascetics were the first to listen to the Dhamma. But why did the first ascetics not all realize the Dhamma at the same time? It was just Venerable Anyakudanya who was the first to realize it. It had its causes and conditions, because Venerable Anyakudanya had aspired to become the first Sangha member. He had been cultivating Bharami, spiritual accumulations, since the time of the Buddha, Padamuttara. He then received the prediction that he would be reborn as a Deva, ruling over the three heavens for 30,000 kalpas, and be born as a wheel-turning monarch for another 1,000 lifetimes, and then be the first to attain the fruit of Sotapanna, stream entry, in the time of the Buddha, Gautama. He received this prediction from the Buddha, Padamuttara. It can be said that the causes and conditions he had already cultivated and aspired to in the time of the previous Buddha came to fulfillment in the time of our Buddha. It was not a matter of chance. It was a matter of causes giving results. And Venerable Anyakudanya, together with the five ascetics, had all attained a very high level of samadhi, concentration. This very high level of samadhi was said to be only a tiny step away, a hair's breadth from attaining arahantship. They had attained the rupa jhanas and arupa jhanas, form and formless absorptions. So when they became arahants, they were endowed with the four analytical knowledges. This shows that they had already possessed a very high level of samadhi. Their minds were already extremely still, all five of them. But when Venerable Anyakudanya heard only a short Dhamma teaching, the Buddha who is Satta Deva Manusanang, the teacher of human beings and devas, knew which Dhamma teaching to give. Just a brief teaching, whatever has the nature to arise, whatever it is, all things, everything, has the nature to cease. Here it speaks about the arising and ceasing of nature. If one sees this, then there is no self. One sees that whatever has arisen must cease, and therefore it cannot be clung to as oneself or as belonging to oneself. Yang kinchi samudaya dhammang sabantang niroda dhammanti. At that moment it was said that the wheel of Dhamma had begun to turn to the heart of Venerable Anyakudanya. He could see and know it. He was a witness that there was someone who was able to know and see the Dhamma following the Buddha. He was called a Sotapanna. Sota means one who has entered the stream of Dhamma. Such a person is naturally no longer subject to decline. Even if he is to be reborn again, there will not be an eighth birth. The lower realms are closed off. We too must train ourselves so that we may know as Venerable Anyakudanya knew. Therefore the Buddha declared, Anyasi Watabo Kodanyo. Kodanya has indeed understood. Anya means has understood. The word Anya was added because originally he was known as the Brahman Kodanya. From the time the Buddha was born, Kodanya was already a young Brahman. Another 29 years passed before the Buddha attained enlightenment, having gone forth at the age of 35. If that young Brahman had been about 18 years old, then plus another 35, 53, he would have been in his 50s, or perhaps around 60. By then he was already an elderly Brahman. At first he too gave rise to conceit and fixed views. When there is conceit and fixed views, one cannot listen to the Dhamma. The five ascetics made an agreement among themselves that when they saw the Buddha approaching from afar at the Chaukandi stupa, they should quickly go away instead. They thought that the Buddha was surely coming after them again and asking them to attend upon him. They had attended upon him for 6 years already, yet the Buddha had returned to taking food. Even when he had practiced self-torture until he fainted 3 times, he still had not attained enlightenment. They had such great faith, yet when the time came, they forgot. They went to search for the path by themselves, but they could not find it. But they were supported by the loving kindness and compassion of the Buddha, because Venerable Anyakodanya, together with the 5 ascetics, fell within the range of the Buddha's knowledge. The Buddha then walked towards them. From the Chalkandi stupa to the Isipatana deer park, it was probably not even 1 kilometer. This time they did not go anywhere. The 5 ascetics agreed among themselves, "Since he has come, let him come. If he wishes to sit, let him sit, but we will not invite him to." They would not receive his things, they would not attend upon him, they would do nothing at all. It was to show that they no longer accepted him as their teacher. Everything had already been agreed upon and settled. But the moment the Buddha approached, as he walked towards them, his radiance shone forth. Because of the aspiration they had made to become his disciples, together with the maturity of their spiritual accumulations that had reached the point of attaining Sotapanna and Arahantship, they forgot all about their agreement. They went to receive the Buddha's 8 requisites, received his alms bowl, took his shoulder bag, and prepared a seat for him. But their manner and behavior were still stubborn. They still would not listen to the Dhamma. As long as one remains stubborn, one cannot understand the Dhamma, and so cannot realize the Dhamma. The Buddha then spoke with Madhura Vacha, gentle and sweet speech. If it is gentle speech, no one in the 3 worlds could be more gentle than the Buddha. The pure power from his heart, together with the words he spoke, entered into their hearts. The Buddha's loving kindness and compassion were boundless. The Buddha told them that he had already attained enlightenment. "Have you ever heard me say this before? Have I ever spoken like this before? You should listen carefully to the Dhamma." The Brahmin Anyakodanya could sense and realize the truth that the Buddha had never spoken like this before. A person of the Buddha's stature, once he spoke, it had to be the truth. So he listened attentively. But the other 4 were not ready yet. They had not made that aspiration before, so they were not yet interested in listening. Their spiritual accumulations had not yet matured. When Venerable Anyakodanya listened, he attained Sotapanna. This is called the arising of the Dhamma eye. It is the eye of the heart that sees the Dhamma. Ordinary human eyes simply see in the ordinary way. But the eye of the heart, the eye of wisdom, sees the truth, that all things are impermanent, suffering, and not self. Most of the time, what we see, what we can observe, is always seen as a self. Seeing that it is not self, he attained to Sotapanna. He was the first human being in the world to do so. As for devas, millions also attained to Sotapanna. The following day, the 5 ascetics, Venerable Vapa, Mahanama, Bhadiya, and Venerable Asaji all attained Sotapanna. The Buddha then spent his first rains retreat at the Isipatana deer park. It was there that he gave his first discourse, and for the first time the triple gem became complete. They were also the first pair of male and female lay disciples, who likewise attained Sotapanna, the parents of Venerable Yasa, the Arahant. Later the Buddha gave the discourse on the Anatta Lakkhana Sutta, concerning the characteristic of not-self. The Buddha asked the 5 ascetics whether form, feeling, perception, mental formations, and sense consciousness were permanent. The 5 ascetics replied that they were impermanent. That which is impermanent, is it happiness or suffering? Their spiritual accumulations had already reached fulfillment, and their minds possessed a very high level of samadhi. They saw it as suffering, that is, a condition that cannot be endured. Whatever arises cannot remain, it must change. That which is impermanent and suffering, should it be clung to as oneself or as belonging to oneself? It should not be clung to at all. At that point, all five attained arahantship together. They became the first group of arahants. Now what this means for us is, how shall we learn from this, and how shall we make it beneficial for ourselves? On this important day in Buddhism, the day in which the Dhamma arose, one aspect is making merit, offering dana, generosity, undertaking the precepts, offering candles for the rains retreat, offering the bathing cloths, and circumambulating according to tradition. As they walk around with candles, they chat as they go, thinking that simply by circumambulating, they have already gained merit. They feel that just by joining the candle circumambulation, they have already made merit. But if they walk around chatting and making a lot of noise, they still gain some merit. It isn't that they gain none, but they receive much less. That is the general understanding that we know, and what we ourselves have done. I too used to do that, but I was a little different. When a day like this came, when I circumambulated, I remained quiet and composed. I did not speak. I don't really know why. It was probably because I thought I would gain more merit that way. But I also had great reverence. Having great reverence for the Buddha, one should be composed. So on these important days, I conducted myself with restraint and went to the monastery 3 times a year, on Magga Puja Day, Vesaka Puja Day, and Asalaha Puja Day. Having these traditions is good in one way. They help people understand to a certain extent, and they bring their children and grandchildren to teach them, making the teachings something tangible. But those who have grown up and possess wisdom should study further, so that wisdom may arise. We should ask ourselves, how can we benefit from this? When the Buddha taught the Dhamma in this way, how should we practice so that it becomes beneficial for us, so that we ourselves may know and see? We must cultivate a mind that is peaceful and even more firmly established. When circumambulating, we should practice meditation. On the first round, recite Butoh. On the second round, Dhammo. On the third round, Sangho. Meditation should be the main practice so that our minds become firmly established in samadhi. If samadhi is not firmly established, we will not see the Dhamma. But if we practice, then one day, when our spiritual accumulations have matured, the mind can change. We can realize the Dhamma and see anatta, not self, in a way that is almost unbelievable. From my own experience, I too went to the monastery just like all of you, making merit and giving dana in the usual way. Sometimes my mind was peaceful, sometimes it was not. But while listening to the Dhamma about anatta, about impermanence, suffering and not self, the mind suddenly dropped inwards and became bright. They say this is the realization of the Dhamma. It became bright, clearly seeing the absence of a self, seeing the arising and ceasing of all phenomena. It is a knowledge that we understand, that can transform our hearts, and these things are never forgotten. After that, we continue to learn and teach our own hearts to understand about the truth of life, the changing nature of rupa and nama, material and mental phenomena, that everything is just like this. It is simply impermanent, suffering, and not self. Happiness arises, and then happiness passes away. Suffering, anger, love, hatred, and all such things are also natural phenomena. Therefore, all we have to do is remove the word I. Sakkaya ditti means wrong view. Wrong view is the view that everything is me. It is deeply embedded that everything is me. Growing old, it is I grow old. Being sick, it is I am sick. Dying, it is I die. But we have never seen that these are merely changing elements. So how can they become me? Everything in this body becomes me. All 32 parts of the body become me. Lay out the bones. Well then, when the doctor performs an operation and places the extracted teeth in a pile, no one says that those teeth are me. We gradually take them out, piece by piece, the large and small organs. Put a pile of hair there, and it is not me. But while the hair is on the head, we say, my hair. This is exactly how attachment clings. This is Sakya Ditti, the view of self. We contemplate it with wisdom, and one day we will see it clearly. To see it clearly is to see the Dhamma, to understand it. The more we can remove the word I from our hearts, the more true happiness we will have. May everyone practice diligently. Train your minds as an offering on the important holy days of Buddhism. May you grow in blessings.